Join me in welcoming our 10-minute speaker, Clinton Dean.
Hi everyone, my name is Clinton, everyone just calls me Q, and I am definitely an alcoholic. And a little bit about my story that I'm going to take and disclaim right in the beginning is my story is not just all about alcohol, it's about a lot of other stuff too as well. But I'm going to directly try to keep it toward alcohol. But let's start off pretty much when I was growing up, my family was a blue-collar family. My dad worked all the time. My mom was secretary for his company type thing. We had a good home. I never seen alcohol in the house. My parents never drank around us. I never even seen my dad ever have a drink, neither did my mom, you know, so my whole life. And, you know, my sisters were all, they would drink maybe their own thing, you know, they're normies, you know, and, so pretty much, you know, my whole family when I was growing up, I never seen the disease of alcoholism, you know, involved with it, you know, in my environment. But as I was getting older, I started getting this feeling that I wasn't a part of everything that was going on. You know, I felt different, you know. And around like 11 or 12, I found a way to, you know, to solve that problem. You know, we were at a family reunion, and I found alcohol. And the next thing you know is I was blackout, you know, first time. That's the type of drinker I was. And it started out that way, you know. And you know how it is when you're young, you know, it's just every once in a while type thing, you know. But by the age of about 15, I was already finding ways to get drunk every weekend or whenever I could, you know. And that progressively led me to where I was sort of getting into trouble. And the next thing you know, at 16 and a half, I was involved with the California Youth Authority, you know, and I was doing time there because of my disease. And I say I had other things too, because along with that time, you know, I was, you know, there's other usage of other stuff that was also compounded into that, you know, that created that that monster, that beast that woke up in me. And so at 16 and a half, I was in CYA. And I was pretty much in and out of the YA system and the prison system until I was about 22. And it was all entailed from the drinking and the using. Even when I got out, you know, I was like, you know, I wanted to start a life, do all these different things. You know, I had all these, you know, ambitions and, you know, I had all these dreams that I wanted to do. And every time I would try to set one forward, you know, it would get destroyed by, you know, drinking or using. You know, it was always put on the back burner. So I never really achieved too much when I was younger. You know, I did at some point in time, you know, I got a business going, you know, as a contractor, and, you know, I had the house, and, you know, I had the family, and I had the white picket fence, and I had all these different things that, you know, on the outside looked like, you know, hey, he's doing all right, right? And then in 2007, when that whole recession hit, I lost everything. And, you know, I had kept the drinking and the using, like, you know, very super low key, like every once in a while type thing, you know, for about probably almost 7 or 8 years, 9 years, something like that. And when that recession hit, you know, it was like, I lost my business, I lost my home, my dad died about the same time. I found out that my wife was cheating on me. All this happened within like 6 month period. And the only thing that I knew how to do, and I knew how to do pretty well, was get drunk and get loaded. You know, so that's exactly where I reverted back to. And like I said, I had all that prison time that I had done when I was younger, and I said I'd never go back to prison. That was like, I'll never do that again. You know, I made that whole thing like I'd never do that again. And there I was again, looking at another term in prison, which I want to thank my higher power for that. You know, I didn't know I had a higher power at the time, and I didn't even want to believe that there was something greater than myself. But that last prison term that I did was the thing that, you know, helped me to start my life. You know, I got locked up. I decided that I didn't want to use, because I had enough time to be able to reflect back on my life to see that every time I did get out of jail or get out of prison or get out of whatever it was, first thing I do is drink and use, you know. And so I made the decision at that point that I didn't want to do that anymore. So when I was locked up this last time for 18 months, I didn't use the whole time. But I remember about 3 months before I got out, I got super scared. And I was frightened about how and where I was going to live, how I was going to live, you know, what my life was going to look like. Because, you know, being institutionalized, everything's handed to you, everything's there, right? And then all of a sudden I had to look at how am I going to, you know, support myself, how am I going to live, you know, without doing the using and the drinking. So I was pretty fortunate a couple of months, or about a month or so before I got out, I got some information about a place in the South Cordero, a sober living home in the South Cordero type thing. And I got a phone number for it. And when I was released, I got released, I came down and stayed with a friend for a little bit, to try to, you know, get, you know, into work or whatever else, which I had no, you know, obviously with, you know, my disease, I had no work background for a while, so nobody wanted to hire me. I had no clothes. I had no nothing, you know. I had nothing to offer anybody. You know, I was completely broken, you know. And I got into that sober living home finally after an act of a miracle of a higher power. And that got me to where I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous, and to Narcotics Anonymous, and to whatever else anonymous there was. And for me, it was like, I got here and I didn't believe any of you guys were telling the truth. I didn't think that any of you guys were not just like drinking on the weekends or, you know, whatever it was, right? You know, and I kept seeing you guys all happy and laughing and stuff like that. And I was like, that's no way. But after a few months of being here, sitting in the back, not wanting anything to do with anyone, I heard my story. And when I heard my story, it sparked that bit of hope in me. And with that hope began my recovery. And so I started making decisions about my life, started making little goals. You know, I went back to school. I started, you know, actually was employable. I began working for a guy. I started doing all these things that, you know, all these dreams that I had as a kid that I would never, could never accomplish because I was getting loaded. I started accomplishing some of these goals, the self-esteem, you know, all that type of stuff started coming back, and I started to progress a little bit better. And that forward motion that got started there with getting into this program and starting to see the benefits of the program, and all that didn't work out or didn't happen because it just happened. It happened because I got in and I started doing steps, and I started doing the work, and I started putting both feet into this program even more so than I did when I was after getting loaded. So the effort was there, the results were showing, and that's been continually progressing for me. You know, now it's like, I say that about the education and all this stuff, all these, you know, dreams and stuff, because, like, I always dreamt that I'd go travel the world, right? And it would always go into the pipe or in the bottom of the bottle. You know, and now, since in my recovery, I've been able to travel the world. You know, I've been able to do so many things. I've gotten an education. I'm still working on an education right now, and I've got big goals that I'm working for, working at, one small goal at a time, you know, and I'm doing it one day at a time, and I'm accomplishing it. You know, I'm getting out of a field that I've been in my whole life of working in construction, and I'm starting to convert over to a different, you know, a whole different type of lifestyle. You know, I've always been that type of person that I want to help people. So I've been going back to school to be able to help people. And how it works for me is like when I get my self-will out of the way, my God's will gets in the way, right? And things just seem to just flow like it's supposed to flow, right? And right now everything is just falling into place, and it blows my mind. You know, I just sit back and I'm like, how is this happening for a drug addict like me, and an alcoholic like me, a criminal like me, all these things that I have been. How could this be happening for me? But it's because of these rooms and the people that are in here. You know, I couldn't do this alone. And I know that when I first got here, I couldn't do it alone. So I went out and after I got past that stage of being, you know, isolated, I started asking people for help. You know, I asked a man to sponsor me. I asked other people in the program about, you know, how to do things. And I'm super grateful for that. So I know my time is getting close to running out. So I just want to say this, welcome to the newcomer, you're the most important person here. If you just, for me, I just stuck around long enough to before that spark of hope fucking hit me. And when it did, it blew up, you know, and life has changed since then. So I hope you stay. And that's all I got.
Thank you. another episode.